Hi, this is Danielle from The Jealous Curator, and this is week 4 at Art for Your Ear Summer Camp. Once again, you guys totally outdid yourselves. Last time at camp, I asked you to create work with unconventional materials, maybe that you could find at the grocery store, for example. And boy, you guys got serious about that. There were eggshells, candy sprinkles, brown paper bags, old records, you name it, it was there. I ended up using a box of cheap envelopes from the grocery store, so it kind of ran the gamut. I've gathered up just a few of the many, many, many posts that I found at the hashtag, and I've got them up on my site right now at thejealouscurator.com. If you want to see everything that everyone's done so far during the first few weeks of camp, just pop to Instagram and look up hashtag AFYECamp. That stands for Art for Your Ear Camp. And there are over 1,000 things there now. Because again, you guys are amazing. So, as always, before we gather around the art table, I am happy to say that week 4 at Art for Your Ear Summer Camp is supported by Saatchi Art, the world's largest curated online gallery offering original art by independent artists from around the world. Visit their online gallery at, you know it, saatchiart.com. So, I probably don't have to repeat this again, but in case you're just joining us, the idea behind Art for Your Ear Summer Camp is simple. It is just a podcast with a little bit of everything that a good summer camp should have. So that means art projects, new artsy friends to do those projects with, and really good stories. I'm going to be back in September with season 2 of artist interviews, but until then, we are going to be busy making stuff. Each week, I will give a project to be completed within the week. That way, we will be ready for the next project the following episode. I will tell you why we're doing it. I will give some examples of contemporary artists that I think are doing a great job of whatever it is we're about to do, followed by a story by the campfire filled with did you knows about a historical artist. Alrighty, time to give this week's art project. Art project number 4. I'm calling this one Captured Through Collage. This is my favorite thing to do. So it is time to head to the nearest thrift shop and grab your scissors while you're at it. Today's challenge is all about capturing the essence of your favorite place through collage. So for you, that might be the garden. Maybe it's New York. Maybe it's an imaginary planet that you wish you could inhabit. Or it might even be Venice. Yes. Venice. I mentioned this challenge last week. This August, I'm going to be teaching part of a course through the European Cultural Centers Academy that's happening at the Venice Biennale. Pure craziness. I still can't believe I get to go. Anywho, the Academy wants one of you to be there too. So they came up with the idea to make this week's challenge a contest. The prize? A week of tuition at the Academy, which happens to be worth 950 euros. Insane, I know. Travel and accommodation are not included, but the tuition for a week would be. If you can get yourself to Venice and you want to enter this contest, well then this is the week to do it. Your collage would be Venice themed, obviously. For those of you who wouldn't be able to actually get yourself to Venice if you win, then feel free to take this challenge in a different direction using your favorite place that you want to capture through collage. If you do want to be entered though for this crazy week at the Venice Academy, just hashtag your work the usual way, AFYECamp, and add the hashtag JealousInVenice. So that way I am sure to see all of them. There's a link to the Academy's website on my site if you want to read a little bit more about what your week in Venice might entail. But first, let's talk about a few artists who have magically captured places using found images, scissors, and some glue. Obviously, it makes sense to start with an Italian artist, right? Right. Caterina Rosato. I hope I got that right. I love her work so much. Now, I actually usually use old books for collage, but for this particular project, Caterina gathered hundreds, and I mean hundreds, of old postcards, organized them into categories, mountains, water, buildings, etc., And with a great deal of patience and a whole lot of cutting, she created one giant collage titled, very appropriately, Greetings. Yep, it is one beautiful, big, dreamlike landscape that I want to travel around in for at least 3 months. I've got images of it and lots of really cool close-ups on my site right now, so make sure to pop over and take a look. It is stunning. Next up, the folk-filled work of Tasmania-based collage artist and poet Bethany Van Rieswyck. Again, I really hope I got that right. This description of her current work sums things up beautifully. I got this from her site. Enriched by her studies in world folklore, ritual, and costume, her hand-cut collages and poems create an imagined mythology from found images and phrases. A psychedelic strain of, quote, Eastern European granny decoupage, her work explores the relationship of women's folk art and poetry to the other world. Ah, yes, these beautiful collages are filled with women in Eastern European lace and patterned skirts, surrounded by pink foliage, and oh yes, some of their heads have been replaced with moths. Trust me, it's actually really very beautiful. Weird, wonderful, and yep, you're going to find yourself wanting to wander through wildflower-covered foothills, singing the sound of music at the top of your lungs. A yodel would be so perfect right now, but that's not going to happen, and you're welcome. Okay, and finally, I want to tell you about the work of a duo from Romania, Irina and Silviu Sakeli. Seriously, why can I not just pick an artist named Sue Smith? Anyway, they are a couple who do everything together, including making art. They met while studying philosophy in the late 1990s and have been inseparable ever since. This is from their site. They say they, quote, raise their son, read to each other, watch films, and enjoy long conversations about everything and nothing. Translate philosophy books, travel, and of course, collage together. I have to say they also have a lot more courage than I do, because I have always wanted to chop up my old art history books, but I have always chickened out. Well, these two did not, and the results are gorgeous. I thought that they were a really great example for this project, whether you're trying to capture the feeling of being in your most favorite museum or being knee-deep in the Venice Biennale. Again, some of their work is on my site this very second. All right, so let's talk about why I love this particular project. Number one, hello, collage. What more can I say? Collage is one of my most favorite mediums ever. Using found images, scraps, bits and pieces of whatever you like, all brought together to tell an entirely new story. A story that only you can tell. That is pure magic. So have fun and just go for it. And two, there's no right or wrong way to do a collage. You can cover the entire page in those bits and pieces, or use the empty negative space to your advantage. No rules, do what you want. Okay, and three, you probably know what I'm going to say. Maybe we should all say it together. Ready? One, two, three. Don't be precious. Yeah. I always like to cut up zillions of images. That way I don't get hung up on those one or two perfect pictures that I have meticulously cut out. Actually, you can even ditch the scissors and just rip things. Seriously, it's fine. I also rarely use super fancy paper as my base. Cheap watercolor paper works really nicely because it doesn't buckle when you glue things to it, usually. British collage artist Anthony Zinnanos doesn't care about buckling, so I would highly recommend listening to the podcast episode that I did with him. I think he was interview number 2 or 3 way back when. It is a really, really good one, so I'll include a link on my site as well. So it is time to gather around the campfire for a story. Crackling fire and chirping crickets, I'm talking to you. Perfect. So, I can't really talk about collage without bringing up Milton Rauschenberg. Yes, true story. That was Robert Rauschenberg's actual name. He changed it to Robert because he thought it sounded more artistic. I might change my name to Milton. Milton Crissa. That's actually not bad. So I have loved his work since I was a sweet little art student minoring in art history. Now, to be totally honest, before I got to art school, I hadn't been exposed to very much art history. Maybe just Monet and his water lilies, but that was probably about it. I clearly remember sitting in a cozy, dimly lit art history lecture hall when the slides of Rauschenberg's, quote, combines came on the screen. He didn't just paint. He didn't just screen print. He didn't just use found images and objects. He put them all together. Yes, it was instant love. He also played around with soaking reproductions from magazines in lighter fluid. He discovered that he could transfer them onto paper by rubbing the back with a dry pen nib. Brilliant. Stinky and flammable, but brilliant. And I would not recommend doing that near the campfire. Anyway, I was doing a little digging for this episode, and I found a great story to read around the fire. This is a series of pieces from a story about Robert, from the online magazine widewalls.ch. There are interesting facts and a few juicy tidbits involving divorce and lovers. Ready? Here we go. Born in 1925 in Port Arthur, Texas, he grew up in the family of fundamentalist Christians, and it was quite normal that he planned to become a minister. As an avid and skilled dancer, he gave up this idea when he realized that the church considers dancing a sin. He also drew a lot, copying images from comics, but nobody took seriously his talent. In accordance with the wish of his parents, he attended the University of Texas at Austin, where he studied pharmacology. After refusing to dissect the frog, he was expelled, and the letter that arrived at the same time, calling him to join the army, actually saved him from the announcement about an early end of his student days. Rejecting the idea of killing people on the battlefield, you go, Milton, he served as a medical technician in the Navy hospital where they cared for the survivors in San Diego. After the war, he started his painting studies at the Kansas City Art Institute and at the Académie Julienne in Paris, where he met his future wife, Susan Weil. Weil? W-E-I-L. He changed his name from Milton to Robert because he thought it sounded more artistic. See? So great. Okay, so from 1949 to 1950, he attended Black Mountain College in North Carolina under one of the Bauhaus artists, Joseph Albers, whose courses were based on strict discipline, deprived of experiments. The great artist was a harsh critic of his students' work, but his course on materials, where he taught them to explore the line, texture, and color of common materials, left a mark on Rauschenberg's assemblages. Later, Rauschenberg described his teacher as a respectful man, influencing him to do exactly the reverse as his departure point in the world of painting. Okay, now I'm skipping ahead to 1952. In fall 1952, Rauschenberg was divorced, and after his wife took their son and left to live with her parents, the artist decided to travel Europe and North Africa with Cy Twombly, his colleague from the Art Students League and intimate partner. That was the time when he made his first assemblage from the junk he found in the Italian countryside. His return to the United States was followed by further experiments in painting, with the red color this time. Resembling the black paintings, the red series from 1953, also had the various surface textures with the implemented newspaper sheets. Improving and upgrading his experiments, he started to include new objects, from parasols to parts of a man's undershirt. Rauschenberg coined the name of his inventive works, calling them combines, because they represent the mixture of paint and practically sculpture on the canvas. His field of action also included photography, printmaking, and performance. Gathering garbage from the streets of New York, Rauschenberg implemented those found objects into his work, giving them a new meaning. See, that's what we're going for here. Combines refers to his work from 1954 to 1962. But he combined both painting and different objects throughout his career. At the end of 1953, Rauschenberg met the young painter Jasper Johns, and 2 years later they started to live together, becoming romantic and artistic partners. The two artists spent their time exchanging ideas, encouraging their mutual exploration that moved the boundaries of the known in art. They shared the same philosophy that shaped neo-data style, adopting the accidental beauty in everyday life instead of the coded psychology of abstract expressionism. An increasing popularity of Jasper Johns, his face on the cover of Art News magazine, and MoMA's purchase of his paintings, caused the jealousy and tension between the pair that resulted in final ending of their relationship in 1961. See, I told you, it's juicy. Next page. And the final chunk of this story ends, very appropriately, in Venice. Always interested in new technologies, Rauschenberg co-founded Experiments in Art and Technology, EAT for short, in 1966, with the aim of encouraging the collaboration between scientists and artists. By this time, his name already became respected within the art world. His American fame was followed by the European after the exhibition at Whitechapel Gallery in London and Venice Biennale in 1964, when he won the first prize for painting, the first one assigned to an American. In 1965, he created one of his most famous pieces, A Modern Inferno, designed for Life magazine in the occasion of the celebration of Dante's 700th birthday. The 70s represented a comeback of assemblages that used the same techniques and imagery as earlier, but now in the combination with more color and on a larger scale. During the 80s, Rauschenberg was engaged in traveling and spreading the idea that art could change society, founding the Rauschenberg Overseas Culture Interchange for that purpose. Yes! Why don't we do that too? Travel the world spreading the idea that art can change society. I kind of love that. Oh, I love all this stuff. It's just so interesting. So I guess the whole Rauschenberg love affair with Jasper Johns is common knowledge. Somehow I missed that during the dimly lit art history classes. I'm pretty sure I would have remembered that kind of tidbit. So I'm thinking it never came up. Anyway, with that, week 4 of camp has come to an end. I will be watching Instagram for your work. Remember to hashtag everything with AFYE Camp. And if you'd like to be considered for the tuition to the European Cultural Academy in Venice this summer, be sure to also hashtag your work with Jealous in Venice. Okay, as our campfire slowly goes out, I will once again say thank you to Saatchi Art for supporting this episode. And as always, huge thanks to you for listening. There will be more Art for Your Ear summer camp next weekend. See you then.